Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, good morning. We're starting a new series today, the Fulfilled series. You should have received a packet on your way in. I'll explain some of that as we move forward, but the series, we're going to be explaining to you our next steps as a church, but that's really not what this is about in the sense that it's just a building. I really want to talk today about making a difference, what it means to make a difference in your life. This week is, we just celebrated as a church, this week, our 23rd anniversary as a church. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't seem possible that it's been 23 years since Michelle and I started with just our son, who was 6 months old, in the cinema in the Cranberry Mall. And now these 23 years later, see what God has done. I just can't believe it's been almost a quarter century. Steve Moore and I are friends. I just can't believe my friend is that old. But this church is more than just a church. It really has become a movement. It's touching churches all over the region. It's touching places all over the world. And I won't talk about it much today, but we have a 300 church initiative as we're helping 300 churches in our region do some things. And that's going well. And I just want to encourage you today to understand that the main reason this church exists, number one, is to get people saved. That is to have people come in to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the only hope of this world. And we have seen multiplied thousands of people come to Christ. But you know, once that happens in your life, that's not all we're here for. That's not all our desire is toward you. We want you to get free from your past. You will never live your fulfillment of your destiny as long as you're trapped in your past. And most people spend their whole life trapped between their past and their future worries. And they never live their life. And so I want to encourage you today to understand that there is a way in walking with God where all of your yesterdays are gone. They have no impact in the way you judge your future. Yet so many people look through the lens of their future through their past or their current circumstance. And this church exists to help you to walk free from your past so that, thirdly, you can discover the reason you were put on the earth, the purpose for your life. Now, lastly, this is that if this last thing doesn't happen in my life and in your life, it doesn't matter how many problems you solve for yourself. Does anybody here ever have any problems in their life? You know, if you're not careful, you will spend your whole life just solving your own problems, trying to get from one issue to the next issue in your life, though we have them. But the reality of it is this, and until this one thing happens in my life and your life, it doesn't matter how much money you make, how successful you are, if you go on your vacations that you want to go to and you have all the, you're solving your problems, all that's wonderful and all that's good. But until your life is making a difference for someone beyond your life, you will never know what it means to be a fulfilled person. The name of this campaign is Fulfilled. And it's just that. We're talking about how to live a fulfilled life. What does it look like for a person to truly live their life in a way that is fulfilling? And it means a variety of things. It means that you need to live a fulfilled life. You need to be a fulfilled person. But it also is about fulfilling this campus with people. This church is about reaching generations for Christ. And we are so grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to reach our world for Christ. And this is the next step we're talking about, which is the Fulfilled campaign and the series about Fulfilled. And so let me read to you out of Jude 22 and 23, one chapter alone, says this: show mercy toward those who have doubts, making a difference. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. We live in a world today that is on fire. Literally, the Middle East is so precarious that it looks like you're reading the book of Ezekiel when you see that, read the news. The prophetic words in the book of Ezekiel about Gog and Magog, meaning referring to Russia. And do you realize the Bible talks about a day where Russia will align itself with Persia, which is Iran, and Syria, and gather together against Israel? Does that sound remotely familiar to what you're seeing? But There's no question in my mind, at least when you look at the signs of the times, that we are in a precarious time. The world's on fire. Our nation is absolutely on fire. When we look, last week, did the message on Clinton and Trump, what would Jesus do? Did that help you process some? I hope that helped you. Well, here's the thing. When you look at this election, here's the question folks are really asking. Is our nation going down the tubes? Is this the final flush? Is that what this is? You know, because as you look at what's happening around us, you look at our nation. Can I say this? And this is not to disparage Trump or Mrs. Clinton at all. But can I tell you this? The issue isn't Clinton or Trump. The issue is that they are simply a reflection of how trashed our world has become. That's what we ended up with because that's the state of our nation. And I want to talk to you today about what it means to approach these issues as the church, because God's people are acting like either Trump or Clinton are the answers to the ill of our nation. They are a reflection of the ills of our nation. The only hope of this world is Jesus. No, listen to me, not some cliche. He is the only hope of this world. And the church, which is his body, is the only hope of this world. Now, let me bring that down a little bit more personally. The only hope of your family is Jesus. The only hope, not one of the many. Education is important. I'm in debt because of it. I get it. But can I tell you this? The only hope your children have is that they know how to walk with God and have a relationship with Christ and know what it means to govern their life by those principles and make a difference. That's the only hope they have. And we invest our lives into our children. We do everything we can. But if those things don't show up in their lives, and if they don't follow that path, and if that path isn't made clear to them, then we are going to be suffering heartaches as people that are going to be so overwhelming that I don't know that we can almost bear them. These are things that don't have to happen. Now, in the absence of the church being bold and aggressive, what we actually are doing, and I see it happening, I see two extremes happening in the church world. I see a hunkering down mentality. Let's just try to ride out the storm till Jesus comes back or I die. Or you have people standing up saying, I refuse to bend. I refuse to bow. I am going to bring the light of the gospel to my world. I am going to walk with God. I will not bow my knee where sin abounds. And I declare grace that much more abounds. So in the absence of Christians being bold before God, we try to defend God. We try to fight about issues. Can I tell you something about the God we serve? He doesn't need defending. The God we serve needs obedience. Not defense. God is God. He doesn't need defended. It's like getting a lion, letting the lion out of the cage. You let the lion out of the cage, the lion defends itself. We serve the lion of the tribe of Judah. God doesn't need defended. And I don't know if you've ever been around lions in the wild. It is a remarkable thing. Many years ago, this was probably 25 years ago plus, or somewhere around that time, Michelle and I were living in Africa. And we were in northern Botswana and we were staying in this camp. As we were traveling, you had to stop in this camp and it had these kind of bamboo walls that encircled the camp. And then you stayed in this little hut that was kind of literally made out of thatch. It was basically grass. And it's about 2 or 3 in the morning and we hear a lion roar. Northern Botswana is, you have lions and everything that's there is there. It sounded like it was outside of our door. And I thought, I'm never leaving this room. And I'm thinking that thin little wall separates us from that lion that's out there. And we finally got the bravery to go out the next morning. We found out they probably said the lion was probably a mile or so away. But it sounded like it was right next to us. When that animal roared, can I tell you something? That Jesus first came as a suffering servant. He's coming back as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And can I tell you this? There is nothing that stands before his presence, nothing that stands before his power, no political party, no ideology. But what we are called to do is not to defend God and not to fight people, but to take the message of redemption, the love of God, and go into the very world, to the very people that may be opposing God and opposing his people, and rescue them from the darkness they don't even know they're entrenched in. That's what we're called to do as God's people. And so this campaign fulfilled. What I'm going to do is give you some of the what's and the how's about it. I'm going to give you some facts, and then I'm going to get to the why today. In fact, when you, I believe when you get to the end of this series, if you'll commit to be here throughout the end of this series, I'm telling you, you are going to have a path forward to live a fulfilled life, a path forward to be able to make sure that you live your life in a way that you don't end up wasting it or end up just camping out and trying to survive it. You don't have to live life in a survival mode. God is a God of mercy and grace and an ever-present help in times of trouble. So let me start with our new construction. And you'll see some pictures of what it looks like behind me. On the east side of this building, we're going to be adding 20,000 square feet. And that 20,000 square feet is basically for this. It's to, for children's space. It's for small group space. And ultimately, it's going to help us to make our permanent offices. Now, let me explain to you. Many of you know this already, but our offices, because of the growth in our children's ministry, since we moved into this side of the building, our children's ministry, that is our next generation children up through junior high, senior high, has grown by 25%, and they blew out their spaces. It's awesome. 25%, man, just boom. Now, we needed space. So those of us on staff here, and this the people who serve on the staff, this is a phenomenal group of people. Not one complaint, not one thought. We threw everybody out of their offices that we could. My favorite relocation is that Steve Moore is in a closet right back there. Just makes me feel warm and fuzzy just saying that. But here's the deal. That still didn't nearly solve our problem. Now, I'm going to tell you something I'm not really proud of, but it's the truth. When I began to see these things happening, my first inclination was to kind of, as the pastor, as the leader of this church, kind of close my eyes to it. And I'm going to tell you why. We started this church, Michelle and I, we didn't even have a microphone cord. And I've been, as a pastor, leading building programs and expansions and land development. I didn't have any intention when I obeyed the call of God on my life, being a land developer and a builder. It never crossed my mind. And I was kind of glad when this side of the building was done. And I thought, hey, I get to coast and just be a pastor. I don't have to do all this building stuff. But I realized that we were out of space for kids. And God so strongly began to challenge my heart. So what we did is we moved everybody out of their offices. We renovated space for the children. And part of this program as well that we're raising the funds for is that we are going to be able to take our remaining 8,000 square feet that people are still in their offices, and we're converting those to children's space, small group space. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. But let me talk to you about the financial goals and help you understand why we're doing what we're doing, or what we're doing and how we're doing it. And then I'm going to get to the real reason, the why. Because you all know this. These buildings someday won't even be here. This is not about a building. This is about a purpose. So here's our goal. In the next 2 years, we want it, this is called the Fulfilled Campaign, that we are going to trust God to be able to raise $5 million. And I'm going to tell you what that money is going to be used for. And these are gifts that will come from our congregation above their normal commitments, above our normal things that we do, because you do understand if you take what you normally give and divide it, you really haven't helped your church any more than if you were going to add on to your house and you said, I know what I'll do. I'll just take what I used to pay on my car and I'll put it over here. How many of you know that doesn't work in house? It doesn't work in church house either. So we're talking about commitments above your normal commitments of giving. Now, we're going to raise $3 million, and that $3 million is going to pay cash for the new construction. And I'll talk to you about why that's so important in a minute. We're going to raise two additional $1 million, and we're going to pay down debt. During the time of our campaign, during those 2 years, we will keep making our payments to the bank on our debt and reduce debt by another $1 million. So at the end of this campaign, here's what I want you to understand. When we built this side of the building over here, the new sanctuary and all the mallway area, we had to do parking lots, outside development stuff. Parking lots alone are over $1 million to build. I don't know. I just think they should give you a massage for that kind of money. I don't know about y'all, but that project was close to $15 million. And we ended up only having to borrow $6.5 million against the $15 million project, which is an incredible opportunity. And so what we're looking at the end of this campaign, after everything I just shared to you, is that we will have added on our, the addition debt-free. And we will have paid down our debt to where all we will owe on this side of the building, the additional debt we incurred from building this wonderful facility, will be just around $2 million. And that will be an eye shot of knocking that out. And that side of the debt will be completely eliminated soon. And that's a really good thing. It's a really good thing. Amen. A great thing. But let me tell you how this came to be. When I was telling you that same time when I was looking that, okay, we've got to make these decisions. And I'll give you more detail in a minute when we get to the why. God really began to deal with my heart about the state of this church and the fact that I'm 56. And I have to tell you that people, how many of you know folks don't live forever? I've been pastoring this church since its inception for 23 years. And at some point, this needs to be handed over to the next generation. And one of the mandates God put in my heart, and I shared this a couple years ago, is that we will hand this over as a debt-free church. Why is that important? Because in my heart, can I tell you this, that nothing matters more to me than meeting the needs of we that are here, but preparing for the next generation. If this church is a one-generation church, it might be the greatest failure of my life as a leader. It will be the greatest failure of us as a church. If these resources, if these investments, people that are now in heaven who have prayed for this, given and served here, if this dies in one generation, it will be criminal. Now, as a result of that, I want you to know we've already made massive adjustments. This is a very young church. Do you know the statistics of having a 56-year-old pastor and the average age of the church so much lower than mine is off the charts? Do you know why? Because those of you my age, a little younger and a lot older, have made a decision that you are going to live for something more than just your own comfort and your own preferences. And it resulted in us making a decision. And I gathered together with some of the leaders in our church, in our congregation, and I asked them to contribute, to be able to help us get some things done to pay cash. And now the rest of us as a congregation are going to come behind them, and we're going to add our value as well. And let me tell you some of the things just in the last couple years that we have done debt-free as a church while we maintain ministry. Listen to some of these things. You all know the extension road gets you down to Ehrman Road. That was $286,000 paid for in cash, debt-free. That's a good place to clap. Debt-free is a good thing. All of the middle school and children's renovations, when we kicked everybody out of the offices, that cost $152,000. And by the way, we saved probably almost that amount by the labor that was done by people in this church. $152,000 debt-free paid for, absolutely paid for. We needed the staff for the next generation expansions we were doing, and we didn't have the money available in budget. And so those people funded next generation staff for a year until we could put it work it into our budget. $102,000 they gave, and it's paid for. That's awesome. This is a great church. Now, just so you know, the building that we have out there ready to build on the east side, it's ready to go. I mean, it is ready to go. But we're not going to pull the trigger until we're certain that we're going to be able to pay for it cash. Because we are going to stay with the commitment to not incur more debt and pay cash and also reduce debt. So this campaign is a reflection of what I talked to you guys about almost 2 years ago, January. But we had to do all the architectural work, all the engineering work, all the fees that you have to pay. That costs $300,000, and that is paid for in full, debt-free, absolutely paid for. These folks gave $1.4 million, and there is now over $540,000 sitting in the bank waiting on this project right now. And when you add your $3 million that we will give as a congregation, we will pay debt-free for that building. And then we will also pay down $2 million in debt. And when you add the other million that we will pay down through our payments, we will drop the indebtedness of the extra debt we incurred in building this building down to $2 million. And guys, I'm telling you, God is doing incredible things. But I want you to tie you now to what that means. Now, what I'm asking you to consider, and please don't do this today. I'd ask you to really take time and pray about this and get enough information to make a prayerful, thoughtful decision as to what God would have you to do in this campaign. But here's what I want you to know. On the weekend of November 12th and 13th, I'm going to ask you to bring your pledges back with you. Now, you don't have to wait that long. You can do this online. You can send it in the mail. You can drop it in an offering. But that weekend, we're going to have a time in the service. And it won't be a long time, but where we're going to collect those pledges. Then the following weekend, two things are going to happen on the weekend of the 19th and 20th. I will announce to you the committed pledges of our congregation. And then beside that weekend, we will also receive our first offering. Now, a special offering, we'll call it our launch offering, where I'm going to ask you to bring your best gifts towards your commitment so that we can go forward and be able to build this building debt-free. I'll give you more details about that as we get closer to the end of this series. But now let me talk to you about the why. Why are we doing this? Listen to what the scripture says in Acts 13, 36. The scripture said, "For David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, died and was buried with his fathers." David, the scripture said, served his generation. How are we going to be known for serving our generation? Let's just be honest. I feel the same way many of you do. Does the status of our country ever make you feel discouraged? It does me. I look at this, I almost can't even watch the news anymore. Because it just pollutes your mind of the distortions and the lies and the hypocrisy from the politicians to the media. It's like watching, you feel like you have to take a shower when you're done. Has anybody here ever felt a little discouraged by what's going on in our nation? Is there anybody here that if I said to you, would you have believed 15 years ago that this would be what our nation looked like today? Is there anybody here that if you look back, if you're my age and 15 years doesn't put you into your 20s into your teens, you think, I would have never believed it could fall this quickly. I could never believe that it had spiraled this low and so dark so fast. So the question is this, what will we do as the church if this nation, if our children, if our grandchildren ever needed us to serve our generation as God's people? It is right now. This is not the time to retreat. This is not the time to lick our wounds. This is our time to trust God, to believe God in the midst of a darkening culture, a broken world, and to be the answer to this brokenness and not the people that go hide from the brokenness. The church needs to be the church, and we're not only going to do it here. And we're not only going to do it for if you will, ourselves, but these are for our own kids. The Bible says, do not hide these truths from your children. But we're going to help 300 other churches do this. And what will it look like if this happens, if this dream of the church being the church happens? You will raise, and God will use us to raise people out of this darkness and out of this brokenness. And he's called us to do this. Because of the growth of our next generation ministries, let me tell you what that building is going to accomplish. Obviously, it's going to help us have more space for the next generation. But it's also going to give us some small group capacity on weekends. Now, we do small groups. You could take these. Everything I'm about to tell you, you can do at a variety of other places and other times. But I'm going to tell you why this is so important. Because we are going to have two specific types of small groups that will be available on weekends. So when you come to church, in the fall and in the spring, we launch small groups, right? Winter and fall, I should say. And it's an 8-week class called Parent Wise. I'm telling you, like something screaming in me. We have probably close to 5,000 adults that attend this church. It's my desire to see every one of them go through the 8 weeks of ParentWise. It's not just teaching. It will connect you to a mentor. Do you realize, and maybe you don't, I deal with the families. I see what the status of Christian parenting. Christian parents want to do the best they can, but when I tell you they are woefully unprepared, and particularly in this world, how to navigate these issues, I want them to be able to come, and we've already opened some of the classes up. The minute we opened them up, they filled up. I want to see thousands of parents just here at Victory. Ultimately, I want to see thousands in the 300 churches that we're helping. What will it look like in the next 5 years if 10,000 people in our region learn how to parent in a godly way with mentors that are available to them? Do you know the suffering that will be avoided? Do you know the heartache that will be removed? Do you know the victories that will be wrought? Do you know the children that will never go into darkness because their parents knew how to navigate darkness by the power of God's word, his spirit, and with the help of God's people? That's what this is about. There's also going to be, our marriage classes will be available for people that are struggling in their relationships and they need help. And he said, well, if your marriage is already broken, man, this church exists to help broken people. But those weekends are going to be reserved to drill right down into the existing family, to be able to serve parents so that while we serve their kids. That's what this is about. There's a man, David Livingston, who's long been dead. He died in the 1800s. He was born in 1813, died in 1873. Livingston was this prince of a man. He served in Africa as a missionary. He was really the pioneer of bringing the gospel to southern Africa and central Africa. Livingston went and he literally gave his life. He died there. Livingston had such a hatred for slavery that he hated it so deeply, and he loved the African people so deeply. He railed against it. He did everything he could do from his position there and his influence in England, because he was an Englishman, to say this is wrong. And what would it have looked like if Livingston's desire and his heartbeat for the horrors of slavery, what if the world at that time had listened to that man? Think of the sorrow that would have been eliminated from our culture today, and the suffering that exists even to this day because of that horrible sin. But Livingston, when his ministry and his work there began to flourish, missionary societies found out about it in England, and they began to write to him. And here was their main question, because these are people willing to come and help him, which would have been a tremendous sacrifice for them by culture and by comfort. But here's what their question was: are the roads built yet? Because they wanted to know, could they bring their belongings with them? And is there a way to get from one place to the other where we're going? Livingston wrote back a simple sentence. He said, if you need roads, don't bother coming. Livingston went where there were no roads. And here's the question I have to ask us in our generation. As Livingston served his generation, as David served his generation, here's the question I need to ask you and me. Do we need roads, or are we willing to build them for the next generation? That's what the question that absolutely compels my heart. Leadership, vision, following Jesus in your life. When there's no road, you trust God and you build one. When there's a mountain, you walk through it, or you blow it away. And you, by the power of God, you do the will of God, and our children will walk with God. That's our desire. That's our heartbeat. When Livingston died, he was so loved. The men that were traveling with him that had been converted and walked with God and knew God because of him. He died in what is today present day Zambia. And that when he died, they opened up his chest and they took out his heart and they buried it there. And today there's a memorial at that, where that tree was, where they carved their names in the tree, where they buried the heart of David Livingston. And then they carried his body with great care 1,000 miles to the coast. There was no plane, no trains. They walked, and they brought his body to be shipped back to England. When those shipping his body, he was well known in England. He was beloved in England because of what he had accomplished. When they saw the state of his body, they said, who did this to his chest? And they said, we did, because his body may belong to England, but his heart belongs to Africa. And they buried his heart there. The question I have to ask, where will your heart be buried? Where will my heart be buried? This world is so dark. Our children, my heart, God has so burned it in my heart for this next generation that I don't care what it costs. I make no apologies for what it costs. People say, well, you know, this money could have been given to the poor. No one who ever says that gives money to the poor. They don't give a care about poor people. We give all kind of money to the poor as this church. We've been given hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to missions work and to care for people through the years. But can I tell you this? We're very wise with our finances here. Very wise. So much so, just so you know, we can build that building right now. The bank, and just so you know, banks aren't lining up to loan churches money. Our bank said, just go build it. We'll give you the money. Because they know the solvency and the track record of this church. But we have made a commitment to pay cash, because we are not going to strap our children with a debt when we leave this ministry to them, like our government is strapping our children to trillions and trillions of dollars of debt. Unbelievable. And so I have to say to you, I make no apologies for this. I understand if someone doesn't agree with it, or if they say, well, Pastor John, I don't like it. I sincerely appreciate that you have an opinion. I really do. I really do. But what I've learned is what I give out of my life becomes eternal and it goes ahead of me into my future. What I consume disappears into my past. And my heart will be buried in the next generation. We will still serve everybody at every age in this church, but we are making a commitment at even a greater level. This has always been a church about reaching kids. But I'm telling you this, there are next generation leaders already in leadership in this church, and they are incredible men and women. And they are doing it in a generation that's gone nuts. The young men and women, people say the next generation. Let me tell you about the Christian young next generation, 20-something, 30-something, early 40s, in that range in this church. They are absolutely, spectacularly, phenomenal human beings. And this church is in great shape already for the next generation. The only thing they need to replace here on this staff for it to bounce and go forward is me. I'm the last replacement. And when that happens, I want to trust God to see this church even explode even more as the next generation takes the resource and the buildings and the capacity and their heart and their passion and the vision God gives them as they change our world for Christ. I want to take a moment and let you see a video. It's about a 12, 14 minute video. And it tells the story from the position of changed lives. I want you to watch this. It's very, very, it's touching and it's heartwarming. And then I'll just take a couple minutes when it's over. And then we'll be moving to the end of the service. So take a look at this and we'll get right back at it. Johnny and Karen, thanks for coming. I really didn't let you know why you're coming in great detail. I wanted to kind of leave it just vague for you because I wanted you to experience something tonight that I think will be very meaningful to you. I want to talk to you just a little bit about the investment you've made as a family in this church. You came here 11 years ago. When you came, the church was small. It's not small any longer, but you stayed. You've been through a lot of growing pains with us. You all have made significant investments with your life, with your time, with your talent, with your finances. Virtually everything we've ever done in this church, you all have been on the front of it. And so one of the questions that I wanted to ask you tonight was this, is that why? Why would you drive 30 minutes to church? Why not? You just don't show up here. You guys have served, as I said, everywhere. You've given and given and given. So why?
You know why? God shows up here. And this is where we feel that we are both called. We came out of religion. We didn't come out of a church that had the word. But when we found it, thank you to Jesus, it was where we wanted to be. Our hearts were here. Our hearts are knitted together with this church.
And just to expand on that a little bit, I think, we were definitely, there was a void in our lives when our boys were young, 8 and 6 years old, I think they were when we started here. And there was just something, we wanted more. We wanted to seek after God, but we didn't know how. And the first time we came here, wow, we were impressed.
Yes.
And it's just been, it's escalated from there, and we're so
thankful. We're so thankful for a church like this. Thank you.
Well, we're grateful that you guys are a part of this. So just, if you could, tell me one time, perhaps, in these 11 years, something that was going on here, whether something we were building or something God asked you to do in serving, because you guys have done all of that. Where's somewhere that God really touched your heart that you guys said, we really have to step out here in faith and do this?
I can answer for you. Your giving, like it really magnified his gift of giving.
You know, once we started coming here, I totally got on board with tithing and giving offerings. And they, and your heart can tell you, well, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, we're a little short on money here, but you know, if you continue to press through those things and do it, the blessings that are on the other side, the things that we've experienced are
supernatural,
unbelievable.
It's supernatural.
It's amazing what God has done.
You all have been a model to so many people. And just what you're saying, it's not something that you learned at a given day that somebody forced on you,
no,
or some religious dogma that you were
you're kind of like in this cult-like environment, right. Had to be made to believe. You went after God, you grew, and you became just literally a model of what it means to walk with God in everyday life as two normal people that serve God and serve people and love people. And what I want to encourage you to understand today is that there are many, many people that have been touched by God because of your obedience. There are people that have been touched and been blessed and have been helped. And my hope was that you would have the opportunity to get to see some of those people. And so these are some of the people just in the last 5 years that have either come to Christ, had their marriage restored, their life restored. And we wanted you guys to have the opportunity, because you hear the numbers we wanted you to have the opportunity to actually see some of these people.
Wow, thank you guys.
And since I could just tell you story after story, we just like to have a few of them tell you their stories themselves.
That's amazing.
Okay?
Thanks.
So hang in there.
Oh my goodness.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Erin.
Hi, Erin.
I first came to Victory about almost exactly 2 years ago. It's kind of crazy to think that it's only been 2 years. I grew up in a Christian family, you know, going to a good Bible-based church in Butler. And then when I went to college, I had a really hard time. I was struggling a lot with anxiety and depression. One good thing that came out of that time was meeting my husband, James.
Oh, awesome.
He had this unshakable faith that I just couldn't understand.
It's irresistible.
Yeah. So we got married just after college, and young adult life was really isolating for me. A lot of my friends had moved far and wide, and I started hearing about Victory and, you know, that they had 19 North, this 20-something ministry, and so I came seeking. I thought I was just looking for friends. But God had so much more
yes.
in mind.
Praise God.
And I couldn't tell you what was taught that first time that I came. All I can remember is just the overwhelming presence of God and His love. And just believing that was true for the first time in my life. And so shortly after that, I got spirit-filled and started serving on the Thrive in 19 North worship team.
Wonderful.
And I just want to say thank you to people like you for investing in this church that invests in the next generation, because you affected my life and now I'm affecting lives, and it's just a ripple effect that'll go on for eternity. And I just want to say thank you.
You're welcome. I am. Thank you so much. So nice meeting you. Wow. I'm overwhelmed.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I'm Joshua.
Hi, Josh.
About a year ago, I found myself standing at a bridge, fully committed to ending my life. And that was a really dark place, a really place, you know, I hope nobody goes, but a place that is real for some people. I was invited by some friends to come to Victory. And I said, that big church on a hill? And I'll never forget that very first day I walked in the south entrance. And when I walked in, my friends were waiting, and they started introducing me to people like crazy. Like, I was being introduced to all these people.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And getting hugs, and they were like genuinely interested in my story and who I am. And I thought, gosh, this big church isn't big at all. Like, all these people are right here. Just made it seem really small. And I started coming to church, and I found myself in the psychiatric ward again a few weeks later. And two staff members from the church came to my hospital room 45 minutes away to be with me. And they brought healing pamphlets and booklets on healing and hope. And they brought feelings of healing from them. But also I found myself saying, that's my church.
Yeah.
Like, that's my home. These are people coming to see me. So my psychiatrist says I'm bipolar, and my psychologist says I am ADHD, and all these people say I am crazy, but what I know is I am one thing, a child of God. since that my last hospital episode, I've been coming to Victory. I have not had a suicidal thought. I have served on the production team, and I, you know, have volunteered and just grown, and now I have an amazing relationship with God. I just want to say it's because of people like you. You know, you think when you tithe and when you give, you're helping churches and other organizations around the world, but you are helping people that are standing next to you in church, and they're putting a smile on their face just like I was. And it's because of people like you that they are able to find that help.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thanks. Wow.
Hi.
Guys.
Hi. Hi, Karen. Hi, John.
Hello.
I'm Kevin Witte. This is my wife, Carol.
Hi.
About 6 years ago, our marriage was in trouble. And we were probably weeks away from the end. And then something happened.
Hmm. Jesus. When our marriage hit rock bottom, it was December. It was close to Christmas. And I went on the website and I saw that there was a candlelight service on Christmas. I said, Kevin, we need to go. And he said, yes.
Being raised Catholic, going to another church for any reason was just not even on my radar at all. But I agreed to go. So we had no expectations. We didn't know what to expect. But we walked through the doors, and we just knew that there was something different here, you know? Now, as you know, Christmas Eve is mostly Christmas carols.
Yeah.
And Pastor John may have spoken for 10 to 15 minutes.
Yes.
But in that 10 to 15 minutes, something happened to our hearts. We both gave our life to Christ that very service.
God.
And from that moment on, God began to heal our marriage. Mm.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's amazing.
And then from then on, we were just all in. We attended all weekend services. We were in on Wednesdays. We joined the church immediately. We were water baptized.
Wow.
We got into every marriage class we could. Mm. And we were so hungry. And we still serve in the marriage ministry today because we want to walk alongside couples that are struggling, just to show them that
God
healed our marriage. He will heal.
That's right.
There's nothing beyond His reach. Nothing.
That's what Jesus does. That whole. He just makes you whole.
Mm-hmm. So we want to thank you, Karen, and you, John, for your faithfulness to the Lord.
Thanks.
And your dedication to this church.
So overwhelming. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Should have bought that waterproof mascara.
My
name is.
Gee,
glory to God.
Well, guys, I almost feel like I have to apologize for you because I kind of set you up a little bit for this.
This is a good setup.
But the fact of it is that people come here all the time, and because of the sheer numbers of the people that come to this church, I think we get lost in the fact that these are real people. The people like you have made a difference in their lives. And so just take a moment and, if you can, tell me, what does it feel like to actually see and hear from the people that your obedience has brought such a change in their life?
Well, it's just amazing.
It's overwhelming.
I mean, like, you walk in the church and you just see numbers, but to actually, like, hear from individuals that we know this church impacts people, but to actually get to meet some of them, it's amazing.
This is what I live for. This is why we're put on the earth. I mean, this is to just know that in some small way that something that you know, the decisions that we make, either that we did or we said, are bringing people into the kingdom of God, or bringing them closer in their walk with God, or letting them know the word, or it's wonderful. I can't put it into words.
The people behind you right now, some of which you talked to, that have reached out to other people in this church, they have lifted the lives of other people. They've served, they've given, they've sacrificially done things to change the lives of not just their own lives, but the people around them. And that domino effect is happening. And it's we're so grateful. And so we just wanted to come tonight and thank you. And then we're just going to give you a minute now just to get to say hello to some of these people. So thank you.
Thank you.
Isn't that awesome? What a blessing. For many of you in this church, that's your story, like John and Karen's, where you've made a difference in so many people's lives. And sometimes you hear thousands and thousands of people, and we fail to get to understand that each person of that great number is actually an individual. And we've done everything we know to do to create more space for kids. We've even gone to two services on a Sunday morning, and you can look around this room and realize you might be here today and go, well, gosh, you have all this space in here. Why are you building? The reason there's space in this room as it is, we've gone to a 9 and 11 service to give even more space for our kids in the interim. And if we can figure out a way to solve that problem and get back to 1 until we absolutely have to for the sake of our workers, we'll do it. But for now, the people in this church are so committed. Do you realize today there are people that got up at about 6 o'clock to come here and will leave at 1 o'clock? They'll come and they'll serve at one service and attend another. They're showing up here and just so that we can have space for kids. It's just an incredible a group of people. And as we keep making these decisions, I want to thank you. And in fact, as we close today, I really do want you to please pray about what God would have you to do. And not just pray, then I want you to act upon it and do so in a way that reflects the values that God has put in your heart and the call that He has for you to touch your generation. And you know, many of you are going to do like Michelle and I. We don't have capital put away. We don't have reserves, in a sense, because we have 3 kids in through college. And 2 are now in college. 1 just graduated. Let's just say that ain't nothing left, so to speak. But so what we're going to do is out of our monthly income over the next 2 years, we've made a significant commitment ourselves. And on top of that, any kind of extra income that comes in over these next 2 years, we're going to be putting it toward that goal to be able to meet our pledge in our heart to be able to serve our church family and to serve the next generation. And so I want to encourage you to really pray about and consider doing the same thing. We'll finish up telling you a whole lot more stuff, but today I want to pray over you. I want to pray over our church, and I want to pray over our families. Yeah, there's a lot of people outside of this church we're going to touch. You're going to see this multiply, and I'll talk to you. I'll give you some stories. I'll tell you them about some of the churches you're already impacting, that whole churches are being turned around because of the initiative that you've helped us do to help serve these churches. But can I tell you this? Before we serve anybody else, before we help anybody else, my prayer is this: God, help me reach my own family. Help me be the dad, the husband I'm supposed to be for my own kids, so that they can fulfill your purpose in their life. And this world, this darkened world, does not capture them. And I want to lead you in that way. And I'm telling you, my heart is buried in this. And I pray God touches your heart equally. And I pray that that's why I make no apologies for trusting God for the finances to reach our kids. It is the most inexpensive thing you will ever do to invest in the next generation. The most expensive thing we will ever do is to ignore it. But by faith and trusting God and by His grace, we want to reach in every way we can our kids, our region, our world by the grace of God. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. I pray that they would know how great, how deep, and how rich your love is for them. And Lord, I pray that as we approach this campaign of fulfilled and the understanding of what it means to be a fulfilled person and to actually go reach people and fill this place with people that will be changed by the power of God. People whose past will be overcome and they'll discover their purpose and then they can make a difference. We pray that you give us the grace to do that and the courage that in this darkening culture, that we would have the courage to not only not let the culture direct our lives, but to be a resource, to love the people trapped in the darkness, to bring the gospel to them. And to be a light and a place of refuge for a hurting world, that this place would be known not as some religious place, some religious walls, but would be more like a hospital, more like an emergency room for people hurting to be rescued, helped, and literally restored to the intent that heaven has for them, that they would live their lives on purpose. So, Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, as heads remain bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you would say to me, you know, Pastor John, I don't know what would happen to me if today I drew my final breath and slipped into an eternity. Please understand there really is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Jesus said so. And please understand this. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. And you may be, and I commend you if you are. You don't go to heaven because you went to a church, any church, including this one. You don't go to heaven because somebody baptized when you were a baby, or you've gone to had some sacrament of a church. There is no church. There is no sacrament of any church. And that includes this one that can make you right with God, that can deal with the stain of sin that's on your soul. But a Savior came and did that. Born of a virgin, He came, lived a sinless life, suffered a criminal's death, hung on a cross, bearing my penalty of my sin, was buried and rose from the dead to pay the sin debt for the world. And all it requires is that I bow my knee to a Savior who loved me so much that He died for me, to a God who so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever would choose to believe in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. That eternal life is available to every one of you here today. For those that are watching online, it's available to you right now. Those listening to this podcast, you can make a decision to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor John, please include me in that prayer. I want to know beyond a shadow of any doubt that Jesus is the Lord of my life and that I am heaven bound because of what a Savior did for me. And I want you to pray with me today. I want to invite Christ in my life. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand, and then the whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated, that you're not going to be singled out or embarrassed. This is about you receiving a Savior, not jumping through five hoops. This is about receiving the Son of God. So if you're here today and you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life, you're not certain what would happen if you left the planet today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Would you raise your hand up high so I can just see it? And then we'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. I want to look around one last moment. If not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, please include me with those that have. I can see you're not singling anyone out or embarrassing anybody. I just want to receive Jesus, and I don't know that I've done that. One last moment as I look around, say, include me in that prayer. I've not yet raised my hand, but include me as well. One last moment, and then we're going to pray. Well, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it. Say it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father. Say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my life. And Jesus, I receive you now. Thank you for coming. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for being my Savior. And I now pronounce you, I proclaim you the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.